week, as we gather with friends and family to give thanks to God, take some time to remember those pilgrims and Indians at that first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians, who taught them how to farm and hunt in America, helped them through that difficult first year, and they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for His rich blessings.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longwell.
Today, as we gather in safety, most churches across America are in safety, although, you know, in the last few years, there have been attacks on Sunday mornings in church. But for the most part, we live and worship God in safety. We don't have to come to church fearing for our life, wondering whether the KGB will catch us, wondering whether the Chinese government will catch us, wondering whether militant Muslims will come with swords and machetes and cut us in pieces. We don't have to wonder, and we don't have to be in fear today. But there are Christians across the world that do worship God in fear. And in fact, there are Christians that are being persecuted. There are Christians that are being executed for their faith. They're being told, you can deny Christ. And if you deny Christ, you will live. If you convert and be a Muslim, then you'll live. But if you don't, you will actually die. We'll actually execute you. And there are stories of people that have actually had their siblings actually killed. They've seen others killed, and they were in line to be killed by those who are persecuting Christians. And this is happening in places throughout the world. And in fact, there are Christians, there are people that are converting to Christianity in nations where it's illegal to be a Christian, and where being a Christian could get you beheaded, and yet they are converting anyway. And God calls for us to remember those who are actually going through this and to actually pray for them and to actually pray that God would comfort them in their struggle and in their trial. And I'm going to read you a few verses that talk about this, that talk about how we are to care for those who actually are going through difficult times. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, we read, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So when someone has a burden, we are to help that person out. We're to bear one another's burdens. And then when we have a burden, we are to bear that person's burden as well. Have compassion. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, we read, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion on one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. So we are to be compassionate to one another, to those that are in church with us here in America, as well as those who are in church in other parts of the world who are going through, some of them, very, very difficult times. Some of them, again, are being persecuted for their faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, we read, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There are people today that are rejoicing, and we need to rejoice with them, but there are also those who are weeping, who are mourning. There are those who have actually gone through very, very difficult times and who actually have been persecuted for their faith. There are some that are imprisoned right now for their faith. And there are people who have actually, again, had others, they've seen others, they've witnessed others, they've been in the line to be executed, and yet God spared their lives. But there are others who actually they witnessed being martyred. paying the ultimate price for their love for Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, we read, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So here we see that we are to suffer with those who suffer. And certainly we can't place ourselves in their situation. We can't reproduce the fear that they come through. One lady in the Congo actually witnessed her brothers being executed, and others were being executed by Muslims, and the army came and saved those who were still alive. Her brothers actually never were buried. They were just left out in the field, out in the bushes, and they were never actually buried, but she was rescued by the army in her country. She actually didn't speak. She couldn't speak for quite a while because of the trauma that she had gone through. And I just want you to realize that there are Christians today that are suffering, and we need to remember them, and we need to pray for them, and we need to comfort them. Pray that God would comfort them. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, we read, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. So we are to actually remember those who are imprisoned, those who are suffering, those who are laying down their lives and are willing to lay down their lives and are living in countries where they have to be willing to lay down their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to turn to a psalm that will show us comfort and will actually give us some instruction in this, and also pray that God, and I want to encourage you to pray that God will touch those who are suffering and those who have witnessed, those who are going through persecution in the world. And we're going to read Psalm 34. And beginning in verse 1, this is a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And you can read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. And David was actually hiding from Saul, who was hunting for his life. He was in a very desperate time in his life. And yet, quite often, instead of pitying, instead of being troubled, it certainly he was troubled, but instead of just spending all of his time worrying about his condition, or maybe even talking about his condition, or bemoaning his condition, or being depressed, he actually turned to God in prayer. He turned to God in praise. And he actually penned this psalm for us so that we can have this to be comforted when we are going through difficult times. In verse 1, we read, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So whatever we're going through, we need to bless the Lord, even when you don't feel like blessing the Lord. Now, you might have heard me talk about my time in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children from abortion. Certainly, I didn't suffer like some people throughout history have suffered for Christ. I wasn't crucified. I wasn't fed to the lions. I wasn't stretched on a rack. I wasn't executed with a machete, or I haven't seen anyone being executed with a machete. The level of persecution that I encountered was not to the same extent that Christians throughout the world are encountering even today, and Christians have encountered throughout the history of the church. Yet I did still go through suffering. I did still go through persecution. I did still go through actually being incarcerated and not being able to actually be at liberty and to be free, and not being able to, for instance, lie down on a bed that is comfortable, or go to the refrigerator when I'm hungry, or go and get a drink of my choosing when I'm thirsty. I actually did experience some level of suffering, although, again, not to the level of others. One of the things that really helped me get through that, because there were times when, in fact, that first time that I was actually arrested in Atlanta, we were arrested, 18 of us were arrested for kneeling on the sidewalk and praying. We weren't blocking the sidewalk. We were in front of an abortion clinic. We weren't blocking the sidewalk. We weren't blocking the doors of the abortion clinic. I was actually standing reading the Bible. Others were kneeling in prayer. And as the police came to arrest me, I knelt in prayer as well. We were arrested. We were taken to the Atlanta Pretrial Detention Center, where we sat on hard concrete benches or laying on a hard concrete floor that was filthy and disgusting, with people that were filthy and disgusting, people that were drunk, people that were high on drugs, these were a lot of them bad guys. One guy threatened to kick my kneecaps out. These were really bad guys. And we were in this situation for about 3 days, going from cell to cell to cell as they worked to get us through the process. And really they were kind of stalling to get us until there was room to put us up higher, where we would actually have a little mat and be on the floor. Or if you were there long enough, maybe you might actually get a bunk bed. And then later on, we were taken to the Atlanta Pretrial Detention Center. But I can remember being in that condition. And after a few days of being in that condition, I almost just wanted to scream. I wanted to yell out the internal anxiety that was in me was so severe. Yet instead of doing that, I took a deep breath and I praised the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to, when we're in a difficult time, we need to praise the Lord and even pray for those who are suffering today, that they will turn to God in prayer. I will bless the Lord at all times, even if you're being persecuted for your faith, even if you're having difficult times, even if you're going through difficult times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. There's something that happens when we praise God, even though we don't feel like it, when we worship the Lord, when we lift up our voices in praise to Him, even in our trouble, God moves and hears us and lifts our soul. Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. We should boast in the Lord. We should praise God and give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and allow His praise to continually be in our mouth. And the humble will hear of it and will be glad. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Here he's calling for others to join him. King David, here at this time where he was pretending to be insane so that he wouldn't be killed by this pagan king, so that the king wouldn't look and say, hey, this is David, let me execute him so that I can rid myself of this enemy. David pretended to be crazy and let the spit from the saliva actually drip down upon his beard so that he looked like a crazy man. This is the context that David wrote this, and he is still asking others to join him in prayer and exalt the Lord God during this time. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's something that happens when we praise God, even in the midst of our struggles. You can remember Paul and Silas sitting in jail. By the way, the jail that I was in, even though the conditions were not good, they were not pleasant. The floors were dirty again. The toilets didn't always work. Sometimes they overflowed. And you have raw sewage, you know, coming out on the ground. The guy that threatened to kick my kneecaps out did so because I warned him that there was sewage coming toward his legs and that he might want to stick his legs up. And he got offended by that and threatened to kick my kneecaps out. Yet the conditions that I was in jail in were much better than the conditions of Paul and Silas. And they had just been beaten. And they certainly would have, many of us would justify them if they just went to sleep. Many of us would justify them if they complained about their treatment, their mistreatment. Many of us would say that's understandable if they even would say, God, why me? Why did this happen? Why did you allow this to happen? Yet Paul and Silas worshiped God even in the midst of their trouble. And when we worship God, when we're in a time of trouble, God hears us and delivers us. Verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. So when we look to God, when we cry out to him, God can actually do a work in us. He can help us be bold. He can help us stand for him. He can help us be bold even if we're at a time where doing so means that we will be persecuted. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And so when we're in a difficult time, maybe, and he's talking here about the poor man, so maybe you're in a financial crisis. And certainly those who are in some of these countries, they are in financial crisis. Some of them have been attacked when they were in the field working, and they're afraid to go back to work because that's where they were attacked. And the Muslims that came upon them with the machetes were better armed than they were and outnumbered them, and they are afraid to actually go back to work. So the poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Listen, God has angels, spiritual forces that are out there looking for people who fear him, that are looking for people who honor God to deliver them out of their trouble. I can tell you personally, I have witnessed God delivering me. He delivered me when people wanted to beat me up in jail because of my faith. God would raise up someone to stand up on my behalf. One guy went to this one time. There was a guy that was challenging me and telling me he was gonna beat me up. He was a big guy. He actually worked out in the gym. He had lots of muscles. One of the other guys in the jail, who, as far as I know, wasn't even a Christian, I didn't see him go to chapel. I didn't see him worship God. We had church in our dormitory. He didn't come and participate in that. But he went to that guy and he said, listen, bench press this. He was talking about his body. And so God can raise up people that will actually defend you, that will actually deliver you. And God can even deliver you himself if there's no one else. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. When we trust in God, God does a mighty work, and he can actually deliver us and set us free. And we are blessed when we trust in him. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And I'm going to go back just a little bit because I skipped a few verses. I'm going to go back to verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So we see the blessings of God on those who fear him, on those who honor him, on those who want to please him and fear displeasing him and want to keep his commandments and serve him, who fear his wrath but love his grace and his mercy. And we see that when we commit our life to Jesus Christ, that God does hear our cry. He opens his ear to our cry, and he moves on our behalf. We see in verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off their remembrance of them from the earth. This is something that you'll see throughout the Bible. You'll see God's blessing upon the righteous and his judgment upon the wicked. And of course, one of the things that we talk about quite often is that there is none righteous. There are none righteous, no, not one. We all have fallen. We all have fallen short of his glory. Every single one of us deserves his judgment. Yet thankfully, God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, so that our sins can be forgiven, our sins can be washed away, and then he can do a work in us to help us to live our lives worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. Yet for those who are out there, we need to be praying that God would do the same to them, that he would convict them of their sins and grant them a spirit of repentance. Yet there is a biblical principle of God's judgment upon the wicked. And this is one thing that you'll see the psalmist many times actually praying, that God would bring his judgment upon the wicked. Certainly we want God to convict them. We want them to repent of their sins. But if not, we want God's judgment to come upon the wicked, against those who do evil, to cut off their remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all of their trouble. When we commit our life to God, when we trust in him, when we repent of our sins, when we trust the shed blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, and we start upon this process of sanctification where we become holy even as he is holy, where we become more and more like him, then God's blessings come upon us. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart, and saves those who have a contrite spirit. We talked last week blessed are those who mourn. And Jesus, how he actually came to minister to the brokenhearted. There are people, Christians, in countries today that have witnessed their loved ones being executed, that have witnessed fellow Christians being executed for their faith. And they, by the grace of God, were spared. But we need to realize that those people are brokenhearted, but God can minister to them. And if you're brokenhearted, God can minister to you as well. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So we see here that God ministers to those who are his and those who are righteous. And again, we're not righteous in our own in our own goodness, we're righteous because of the blood of Jesus, but we're also called to be righteous and to be holy, even as he is holy. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. And so here you see, and you see this really throughout the book of the Bible, you see God's judgment upon the wicked. You see many passages in Psalms talking about God's bringing his judgment upon the wicked and them being caught in their own snares, the snares that they have laid for the righteous, like Haman that built a gallows for Mordecai to be hanged on, and he and his sons were actually hanged on that gallows, the very instrument he had designed for the execution of Mordecai was used for his own execution. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. We have this hope. And let us pray, let us remember those who are in prison today, those who are suffering persecution, those who actually have commit their lives to Jesus Christ at risk of their own lives. Those who, if they wear a cross, that cross is not just a piece of jewelry. That cross is a sign of their commitment to lay down their lives and die for Christ if necessary. Let us pray that God would give them strength, that God would give them comfort, that God would provide for them, even if that means that they're going to lay down their life for Christ, that God would give them his peace, that he would be with them, that he would give them resolve, would give them the strength to go through that, and those who witness that, that God would actually move in their lives as well and give them the strength to continue doing what he has called them to do and to reach out to others. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This week, as we gather with friends and family to give thanks to God, take some time to remember those pilgrims and Indians at that first Thanksgiving. The pilgrims risked much to come to America, and half of them died that first winter. Their dependence on God and their friendship with the Indians, who taught them how to farm and hunt in America, helped them through that difficult first year, and they gave thanks for the harvest. Likewise, we give thanks to God for his rich blessings.
Greetings. We invite you to join the Word of Truth International Ministry with Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope every Saturday at 8 a.m. as we break the bread of life and teach the Word of God right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. For a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. Tune in for Born to Win with Ronald L. Dart right here on WCNO 89.9 FM every Sunday morning at 7. And we'll talk about whether you were born to lose or born to win. And visit us online at borntowin.net.